you have a jury over here and have all these things going on. But really a court is a very simple place. And that is, the purpose of the court is to decide what the law says to do and how it applies in that case. And so when you think about Jesus, we find that Jesus basically, in John the 5th chapter, is treating this much like a court. And that is, he's going to call his witnesses. And as you look at this passage, we understand that now the witnesses are really important. Again, we may today think, well, forensic evidence and about maybe video evidence or things along that lines, but really the fundamental part of any court is really when you have witnesses. And a witness is somebody they call it, and that person is a testifier. And that is, that person is to tell you what they have seen, how, and what, maybe what you said to them. And so they're there to tell you what they know. Basically, and that is that they are there to speak the truth. Now, can you imagine if somebody calling a witness and you put your hand on the Bible or they ask you, do you promise to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? And I don't know if they still say, so help me God or not, how they really do the swearing in today. But can you imagine if somebody would say, well, you know, I may lie some to you. And well, obviously, anybody that would lie is perjury, breaking the law. But if somebody said, well, I'm not sure I'm going to tell you the whole truth or not, that person's testimony then is totally useless. You can't count on anything he's saying as being the truth. And so a fundamental part of any kind of court situation is that the truth is to be revealed, to be spoken. And that is, again, the truth pertaining to what they know to be true. Now, again, and that, what that means is that what they have seen, what they have witnessed. For instance, if maybe, let's say, Connie here, that maybe one day Connie has seen an accident, and Connie is talking, and I hear Connie say, yeah, I saw that car run the red light and smashing that blue car, and the person getting out of the red car was drunk, and so, you know, and I saw that. If I would go to court and somebody said, well, what did you see? And I said, I didn't see anything, but I'll tell you what, I know what Connie saw. And Connie told me, and Connie saw the red car hit the blue car, and the driver of the red car is drunk. You know what? That's not admissible. And it's not because Connie would lie to me, but the fact is that I didn't see it. It's third-hand knowledge. And so it's what I know to be true. It's what we're looking at here as far as witness. And again, the purpose of all this is fundamentally to get to the truth. You have your prosecution, you have your defense, you have the judge, and the whole point of all this trial business is to find out what is the truth then. Well, I want to look at Jesus here because when thinking about Jesus, there were a lot of questions being asked. Again, kind of going back to the last lesson where the question is, who is he? And so we find various questions asked about Jesus. For instance, in Matthew 11, 2, and it says, when John had heard and impressed by the works of Christ, he said to his disciples, said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? The disciples of John had to understand that John was not the one. He was not the Messiah. He was not the one fulfilling all the prophecies concerning the Savior coming. They had to come to that understanding. And so when they understood that John had a limited purpose here, the next obvious question is, well, who is this person? And when they saw and heard about Jesus, that was a question they wanted to know. Was he the one that John was talking about in his ministry, or should they look for somebody else? And it's proper to ask that question. In fact, questions are often very good to ask. But then also another question we find, and this is over in John 4 verse 12, talk about the Samaritan woman by the well, and Jesus starts talking to this woman, and eventually she asks this question, and that is, are you greater than our father Jacob? Well, oftentimes when we ask questions like that, you think about, well, you know, Moses, are you greater than Moses? Are you greater than Abraham? That would be almost the epitome of being a Jew. And in this case here, Jacob. Now, perhaps part of the reason is because they're at Jacob's well. And so he'd be one on her mind, and she would think about one of the founding fathers, one of the patriarchs. So are you greater than Jacob was her question about Jesus. And then another question that we find that was asked of him in John 6, verse 42, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, his father and mother, we know? How is it then they says, I come down from heaven? I don't know really what the Jews expected. They looked for the Savior. They looked for the Messiah coming. I don't know if they thought that they would be out in, and one day all of a sudden the clouds would part and him would come down this beam and they would, everybody would see this, and there would all of a sudden they would see the Messiah. He'd be full grown and there he was. Well, that's the only other option. Actually, what happened is they actually knew his parents. They actually knew Mary and Joseph, and maybe they again saw him grow up, and it'd be hard for them to accept this is the Messiah. I mean, after all, he's not going to be somebody like us, right? That's almost kind of like in the back of their mind. And so they had a real problem accepting him. Another question that was asked Jesus we find on a different occasion, and that is Mark 14, verse 61, and this deals with the trial of Jesus. And this is the question that the Jews asked him, and it says, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Now, it would be nice if you asked questions, if you actually are wanting to answer. They really didn't want to answer this time here, but that was the question they were asking here. The high priest was asking this question to Jesus. Again, a good question, though. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And then we may think about over Matthew's account. And Matthew's account in verse 26, and there it said, but Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. They're going to see his power. They're going to actually understand who he was. But again, the question, are you the Son of God? Is really what they're asking there. And 3 years of teaching, 3 years of seeing miracles, so 3 years of learning about Christ, they're still asking the very same fundamental question about him. And then another person, this is Pilate. And you think about here, Pilate asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? Now put yourself in Pilate's position. And here the Jews bring in this man that their accusation is that he is guilty of insurrection. He's trying to lead a revolt against the Roman Empire. And can you imagine Pilate as he hears this charge? And also they bring Jesus in. And here what he sees is a man that has already been beaten a number of times. A man that is a bloody mess, a man that's honestly helpless as far as physical appearance is concerned, and this is the one that he's going to overthrow the Roman government? Are you the king? I could just hear Pilate say that in disbelief of the whole thing going on here. And so when you look at these passages and we think about what Jesus had done, and the reason Jesus were so upset with him is Jesus had made himself equal to God by calling God his Father. When you look over at John 15 there, and the passage we had, excuse me, John 5 verse 17, at the passage that Jesus answered them, my Father's been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews saw all the more to kill him, because it only broke the Sabbath, but also that God was his Father, made himself equal with God. So that's the reason why they were upset with Jesus. And that's the charge being made against him. And if you think about these cases, and Jesus, just because an accusation is made, just because a statement is made, does not automatically mean it is true. For instance, Jesus points out, and says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Were the Jews to rely solely upon what Jesus said? You know, when you stop thinking about that alternative here, you realize that people make all kinds of claims. And just because somebody makes a claim doesn't mean it's automatically so. We have, for instance, Muhammad said that he's the prophet of God, the great prophet of God. Just because he made that claim doesn't make it so. And so when we look at scriptures, we find that people often make various claims. In fact, many of the claims people make are untrue. Okay, we just can't go by what somebody says. False teachers. often make claims, and sometimes the idea of inspiration direct from God, that God told me to do this, God's, and speaking in tongues, a lot of times the charismatic movement, those people are saying that we are being led by God in a miraculous way. That's what it means true. In fact, in Acts 5th chapter, we have the testimony of Gamaliel. And in this case here, they have the disciples of Jesus, the apostles. They're trying to figure out what they can do with them. And so in Acts 5 verse 34, it said, then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said, the men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. In other words, before we do something, you need to think seriously about your next action. And because he goes on and he makes this observation, he said, for some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody. And you think about various people there in different times of Jewish history that claim again to be the Messiah, claim to be a great leader, and that's what he's referring to. And he said, a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain. All who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. So we have this guy here's testimony, and that is, he couldn't back it up. He died. And said, after this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him, he also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. So he's pointing out, just because, again, these people are making a claim doesn't make it so. But then he goes on and makes this last point. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For this plan or work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you can overthrow it, lest you be found to fight against God. And so his approach is, okay, let's just wait and see the evidence. Let's just wait and see what happens. Because if they really came to God, we can't succeed. We will fail in trying to stop God. And so there's the testimony we have. And we just keep in mind also the basic idea of the law of Moses is you had to have witnesses when a charge is made. And in fact, over in Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, it said, one witness shall not rise against a man concerning any inquiry or any sin they commit. That's what Jesus is referring to. When earlier in John, he says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is untrue. That's in the court of law, one person doesn't establish what the truth is by itself. And said, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. So that's really the value of and the point he's been making. You know, if you have two or three people saying the same thing, then you're establishing what the truth is. And so I said all that because, again, imagine a court here where Jesus had been teaching for a while now, and the Jews are asking questions, and Jesus is going to say, okay, here's my witnesses. Here's what you have to establish whether or not I'm lying to you or if I'm telling you the truth. And one thing he said that they had is that they had the testimony of John. John the Immerser, John the Baptist often we talk about. And John 5 verse 32, and there said, there's another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which you witnesses of me is true. He has sent to John and has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from men, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was a burning and a shining lamp, and ye were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. What I'm referring to is that the people, the Jews, understood John was a prophet. That he had given them evidence to show that he was a man sent by God. And so they said, for a while there, you were willing to accept his testimony. You're willing to dance in the light of what he was saying to you. And notice what he says here, that he has bear witnesses to the truth, and which he witnessed of me. John was talking about me. And he recognized I was the one sent by God. If you go and find that John came as a forerunner, a one to prepare the people for the coming of Christ. Let's just turn over these couple of verses here. Over in the Gospel of John, first chapter. And there in verse 24 to 34, there it starts saying, now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, why then did you go to baptize if you are not the Christ? Nor Elijah, but the prophet. Nor the prophet.
John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among whom you will do not know. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me. His sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethera, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man, he is preferred before me, for he is before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptized with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. He remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. And so all the way through this, he's just laying down the argument, the facts, what he knows, what he saw, what he witnessed. And he said, I can tell you, I saw these things, and I know who he is. He's the Son of God. When you look at people, again, the people accepted John as prophet. And therefore, if you accept John as prophet, let me just kind of interject right here. You know, the last week of ministry of Christ, that one of the questions he asked the Pharisees was about John. And that is, they come from heaven or from men? And you know, the Jewish leaders there, they understood that the people accept John's prophet. And so that's the reason why they didn't want to contradict him. As you look at this, they understood who he was. And if he's a man of God, what you have to do is you have to accept his testimony. You can't say John is a man of God and at the same time is lying to us. He has to be telling the truth. So Jesus basically just says, okay, I'll tell you what, just listen to John. He's my witness. But then he doesn't have just John. What Jesus also then points out to them is that they have the works of Jesus. When you look at his ministry in John 5 verse 36, it says, but I have a greater witness than John's. Okay, John's pretty good. I mean, John is a man of God, a prophet. But he said, I'll tell you what, I got a better witness than John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness to me that the Father has sent me. And so we just look in the ministry of Christ and say, okay, what's he talking about there? And we just point out there were all kinds of miracles. Healing the sick, people that could not walk, people that could blind, he healed them, the raising of the dead that Jesus was able to perform, casting out demons, feeding 5,000 people with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. And you just go ahead and you list other things that Jesus did. And it should be noted here that nobody questioned the fact that those things happened. Eventually, the Jews started a different tactic, and that is saying, well, what's the authority, what's the source of his ability to commit miracles, perform these miracles? But as far as the miracles themselves, Jesus says, these things you have. And this was again the answer given back to John's disciples. And that is, he said, Jesus' answer said to them, Go and tell John the things you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Those are the works Jesus referred to that they had that they can make that judgment as far as Jesus being Messiah or not. Again, at the trial of Jesus, he made the point that things he had done was not a secret. That there again were vast witnesses, people that had actually seen these miracles before and heard the teaching of Christ. So he's saying, these are the works you have. And even on the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up. As Peter's preaching on the other 11, he makes this point, Acts 2 verse 22. He says, Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst. And then that last part, it says, as you yourselves also know. Again, they understood the miracles. They had seen these things happen. And so he said, these are the works that prove I'm Son of God. This is my second witness. They had John that had the miracles. But then he goes on. He said, you got more than that. And that is, I think my Father testifies to me. God, who is my Father, testifies of me being his Son. In John 5 verse 37, And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice any time nor seen his form. There's a guy interesting. You don't know him like I do. You haven't seen him, but you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, you do not believe. You know, it's one of those cases, either don't have to say again, Jesus is a liar or God is. Or maybe both of them if they don't accept Jesus, the Son of God. And so he just points out that we've heard a voice of God testifying about who Christ is, who the Jesus is. If you want, turn over to Mark 1st chapter. And you look at Mark 1st chapter and his account of this event. In verse 19, Mark 1 verse 19, excuse me, verse 9. And there it says, it came to pass those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and a spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the spirit drove him into the wilderness. So we have this testimony of God saying that Jesus is the Son of God. The same thing was said, by the way, at Mount Transfiguration. When we read about that, that Jesus said, this is my beloved Son, whom I well please, hear ye him. And so they had the testimony of Jesus here, and that's Matthew 17, verse 5 right there. And so they had that as their testimony. And so again, we look at this saying, okay, we have John the Immerser, we have the works of Jesus, we have God saying this, and just to make sure we understand this very simple point, again, as a witness is only as good as their character, let's say. And so we think about God, Titus 1 verse 2 says, it's impossible for God to lie. Not that anybody with any sense would say, well, God's lying when he said that, but we just know that God, by his very nature, is speaking the truth. So we have him as a witness. But then Jesus doesn't stop there. Jesus says, okay, you got another witness of me, and that is the scriptures testify of me. The law that you have been reading and studying for all these years, the Old Testament that you have, over in John 5 verse 39, he said, you search scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. And so we look here about the scriptures. Now again, we have to keep in mind that we're talking about the Old Testament. We today would call it the Old Testament. And so we look at the scripture, we understand, well, there's a lot of things in the Old Testament. And there's the lineage of Christ. They're from Abraham all the way up to his birth, we have his lineage given to us about who the Messiah would be. We have the place of birth that's talked about. And of course, we know that being Bethlehem. And so we have that before us. And also we have the testimony later on, they're going to have the testimony of his death on the cross and then his resurrection. And those things were all talked about in the Old Testament. So if somebody's saying, you think you have the scriptures, you're reading them, you know all about them, so just look here and see if they're not talking about me. As look over in Galatians 3 verse 24. Later on, the Apostle Paul said, therefore the law was our tutor, schoolmaster, some would say, to bring us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. That the Old Testament had a purpose of establishing who the Messiah is going to be, so that we would know who he is when he came. And so he said, that's what you got. You got the scriptures that testify on me. Acts 17 verse 11, it said, these were more fair-minded than those of Thessalonica. Talking about the people of Berea. And said, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They were doing the right thing. And in fact, anytime you have witnesses, it's, you know, what you need to do is you need to think and you need to check up and see if their testimony is credible. That's why they say, you have these scriptures that testify in me. Again, notice here, the scriptures here, we're talking about the Old Testament, that case there. And I'll just give you one other set of witnesses that came along later on, and that is the apostles. These men, as they went out preaching and teaching from the day of Pentecost onward, these men were testifying what they had seen and what they had observed and what they know to be true. Over in Acts 1 verse 8. And there Jesus said, they shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, as to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, I know sometimes today people talk about witnessing Christ, and they talk about their personal testimonies. Well, this here is a special sense of that, and that is that we have not actually seen Jesus here upon earth. I have not walked with him for 3 years. I have not talked to him personally, face to face, these men had. And so we said that you are witness to me. They have seen Jesus after his death. They have seen him after his resurrection. They, in fact, they were going to see him as ascending into heaven. And so those are very, again, pretty powerful witnesses when you get right down to it. And so we look at that in Acts 1 verse 24. That's when they're selecting somebody to take the place of Judas. And that they're giving some qualifications necessary for anybody to be an apostle. They said, therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time. Now notice, here's the qualification. They had to be with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. So they had to be there from the beginning. From the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from one of us. One of them must become a witness with us of his resurrection. Now somebody may say, well, Paul didn't meet that qualification. No, and Paul acknowledged that. He said he was one born out of due season. However, he did talk to Jesus and see him on the road to Damascus. And so in this case here, of all the people at that time, they only found two that met the qualifications. And of course, Matthias is the one that selected to be the next apostle. But what they did is they went out and they talked about what they had seen. They talked about what they had heard. They had talked about what they had observed, what they knew to be true about Jesus. And so we have these witnesses then. And so today we are much like the Jews that was questioning Jesus. And that is, we are the court as far as we decide for ourselves who we think Jesus was. And that is, you have, okay, the testimony of the witnesses. Okay, what they'd be true. We have John. Testified Jesus be the Lamb of God. The works of Jesus testified to his power, Son of God. The Father testified Jesus is his Son. The Scriptures testified Jesus is the Messiah. And I didn't put up here, but the last set of witnesses we have are the apostles. So who do you say Jesus is? The apostles, it should be noted, went out and sacrificed everything they had in order to testify of Christ. Somebody one time pointed out that when men try to make up a false testimony, when men get together and try to make up a story and then hold that story, that doesn't hold together very long. And they point out with the Watergate, with Richard Nixon and the Watergate scandal, that those who were involved in that got together and they had worked out their story to a point that they could lie, and they thought they would have their bases covered. That story unraveled within 2 days. Well, here we have these men that went out, and not a single one later on said, you know what, we were lying. So they didn't say, we actually made up the story. No, they were telling you the truth, what they saw. And so we have to go over that testimony. We have to accept that testimony as being the truth. And so this morning, as we think about who Jesus is, we understand all the witnesses he called to establish who he was. This morning also we have a song to select to encourage us to obey the gospel if we have not done so. I don't know, we may have someone here that has not obeyed the gospel this time. We pray that you will accept Jesus as Son of God, repent of your sins, be baptized for remission of your sins. But also as Christians, we are here to pray for one another, help one another. If you desire our prayers for any reason, once you have come, so stand and sing.